two things make change: creative vision and curiosity. And of these two, curiosity is the mother. Curiosity grows us from being newborn babies to being young adults. Babies start with, "What is that?" Mom's face, or whatever she presents of herself to the infinite. The progress and progress to, how does it taste? What's that super strong odor? As the vision, including depth of perception, improves, we learn, how do I get that over there? And real problem solving begins. If I can't get that because I'm stuck in here, baby's crib, then how do I get out of here? Generally, boys excel at the escape arts. How do I begin to social engineer is usually mastered by girls. Yet, right in through here, hybrid skills develop. Curiosity drives all of the above. In our earliest days, our minds grow at exponential rates that would sometimes frighten parents and other adult observers. Because we identify with our children, or because they are so much smaller than their adults, we generally avoid outright fearing them. As we grow, we age. And that starts somewhere between infancy and toddlerhood. As we age, we become more dependent on what we already know, as opposed to being driven to plunge toward finding out what we have yet to understand. Eventually, we tell ourselves that we know what is right and what is terrible. Those things boil down to a few salient talking points in our now codified and well-sequestered areas of attention. Then the list of things that deserve our focus narrows. I hold as a miracle class event the migration of the majority of the BFUU community to embrace the digital video technology. That lightning fast shift, and you did this very fast, has buoyed the survival of our community. And yes, you got some tutoring in this, but the fact remains that you did it. Each one of you here on Sunday mornings, not to mention board meetings, other committee meetings, along with one-on-one, small group miniseries, ministries as well. It's become a part of daily life and stands as a testament to your facility for youthful capability. You deny it. You complain that you don't know and can't do, and what you don't know and what you can't do with Zoom, FaceTime, social media, yet you continue to learn. So I encourage you to knock it off. Get over your beloved attachments to what you don't know and what you can't learn. These are not bad things. What you don't know is just something that you're about to find out about. You've already made liars of yourselves in this regard. Embrace your humanity with its adaptability. At the same time, be patient with yourself and that side of yourselves, along with your nose, your ears, your tongue, and other parts of your body that continue to grow throughout lifetime. Did you know that, by the way? You know that your ears continue to grow as you age, your nose continues to grow, anything with the cartilage in it, and your tongue continues to grow. Anyway, the key to all of this is curiosity. Don't require being forced to learn something new. When you see something for the first or the 40th time, be interested anyway. Become curious about the previous and the next generations, and in both directions, previous and the next generations, be curious. they will be different than ourselves. The only reason to not be curious is fear. Remember? What killed that cat? The reason we came up with this business of cats having nine lives is just to justify why they're still here after all of the curiosity that they exhibit. I have a little 19-year-old cat, and I'll tell you, she is still curious. She wants to know what's going on in that closet, and I'll bet she eventually catches some uninvited guest. She's still learning more every day. Now, and this is the truth, she insists on using the bathroom. No, I mean the actual bathroom. We've had to move her stuff in the bathroom. She figured it out. She goes, hey, I get it. They go in there. And she's figured the whole thing out. And so we had to move her stuff in there. And it's 19 years old. That's pretty old for a cat. So she's still learning every day. Now she insists not only on that, but lively conversation. I have determined at this point that she knows much more about our language and our communication than I do about hers. All that's for another day. Our longevity, in fact, may well be tied up in two primary traits: curiosity and gratitude. Now, I want to do a little exercise with you today. And I need a volunteer. So you can just throw up your hand like this if you volunteer and take yourself off mute. Can everybody take themselves off mute at this point if they want to? And if you don't volunteer, I'm going to pick one of you. You know how that goes. So. All right, Artis and Phoebe. Good. I've got two volunteers. We're going to play a little game, and I need a timekeeper for the game. So why don't you be, one of you be the timekeeper for the other one. Artis, you raised your hand a little bit first. Phoebe, will you timekeep for Artis and I and just give us no more than 1 minute? And this is going to be, this is important. This is a little game that you can play. And at the end of it, I'm going to tell you how it stimulates curiosity, okay? I think our timekeeper's doing something. Getting a timer. Okay.
Very good.
Thank you. 1 minute. Now, here's how it's played. We're going to have a conversation, and the whole conversation is going to be held in questions. Do you understand? So, how did you understand the rules of the game? What did you understand them to be?
What game?
Ah, are you saying that you've already figured out what the game is and you're right? You're just hot afoot on it. Is that right?
That's what you said, isn't it?
I'm not always sure what people are hearing. So everybody who heard basically what Artis is showing us, can you give us a show of hands? Okay. So how far are we into this game right now?
What is the game?
Should we see if Phoebe can answer that question for us? Let's try it. Phoebe, can you tell us how far we are into this game?
About 50 seconds.
So that means we have 10 seconds left and then you and I are going to get started. Is that right?
I don't know. You're the boss.
Okay. See, it's not always easy to do. So did you understand what was different about your response just now?
What's different?
Oh, I was actually talking to Phoebe because isn't it her turn?
I thought Artis had 10 more seconds.
Oh, okay. Artis, are you going to be the timekeeper then for us?
She has a timepiece and I turned off my phone.
Okay. Can somebody else be the timekeeper for us? Is that Jinky? Are you volunteering? Can you just hold up your hand like this if you could? Okay, Phoebe, you understand how the game goes, right?
I think so.
Would you like to ask me something? Can you see that this is an opportunity for you to ask me anything about myself that you might want to?
Oh, okay, great. How was it that you came to choose to be a minister? When did you feel the calling?
Well, if I were to tell you that these things don't necessarily occur to one clearly, have you ever had an experience like that where, you know, it sort of dawns on you over time what's happening? What was yours like?
I asked you first. Oh, well, you said it dawned over you over time. Okay.
Okay. Now, sometimes when I practice this with people, and by the way, I learned this from a sales manager, because you have to ask a lot of questions when you're doing sales work, which I did for a period of time. I was taught this, and you really have to time it, because what happens is you can get stuck in this thing and you don't know how to get out of it. It's very sticky. You know, did either of you notice that when we were doing it? And you can just answer the question if you want to, that it can be sticky. It can be a little tricky. You can get into it. And if it gets to be a flow, you can get stuck in it. And sometimes people feel like they're against the ropes. Did you get that feeling at any point? Like, it was like coming at you a little bit fast and it was tricky to do?
Yes, I got that.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you the key to getting through that spot. And it's not necessarily easy to do even when I tell you what the key is. The key is to actually have curiosity. That's why, Phoebe, I told you, you can ask me anything you want to at this point. And then you had a question just like that. Real curiosity can fuel this, and you can play this game all day long and actually have fun doing it. The moment it ceases to be fun and you feel like you're against the ropes, it's because you're feeling defensive and you're in a spot of what do I need to do to do this right? And that need to do it right is not the friend of curiosity. Because if you need to do things right, if you need to have good answers, see, like if I ask you a question and you feel the need to come up with a good answer, the right answer, this becomes a very difficult game to play. If, on the other hand, you can actually access your true curiosity, it's a very easy game to play. Now, Phoebe, I'm going to respond to something you asked me, which is, when did I decide to go into ministry? I actually started doing it because I was curious. I went to school with some Star King students one day when I was the director for LRY, and I was just out here on business, doing the business. And I was staying with some Star King students, and they said, do you want to go with us to a class? It's a really good class today. And I thought, oh yeah, this is pretty interesting. And I went, and it was really good. It was a wonderful class. And so I ended up staying there for the whole period of time I was in Berkeley. I would show up for this class and I would show up for this class and I was welcomed into it. And I became a willing participant in it. And my curiosity kept me. And then after I got out of that office and I'd moved out to the West Coast, I went back to see if I could audit classes, because my curiosity pulled me, because I wanted to know more, because what I was getting was so interesting and so enlivening, I was caught. And I wanted more, and then I wanted more. And I followed that trail, and I followed that trail. Years later, many, many, many years later, after I'd been in and out of the fellowship hall, but not really back to the fellowship per se. One day, Reverend Meg comes to me and says, can you cover for me? I have a service to do in 2 weeks and I can't do it. And I thought, hey, I remember this place. Sure, I'll do it. And I did it because I wanted to see who you were now. Curiosity did it again. I am an extremely curious person. If you ask my therapy clients, they will tell you. They know. And it's something that if you're around me for too long, you have to be very careful because it is contagious and you will catch it. But I think that that's why children's minds grow at the rate that they grow. It's not just because their brains are young. It's because, well, they are truly curious. And a child that is not curious, by the way, is a flag. There's a flag. There's a red flag that goes up for children that when they're born are not interested in things and are not curious. It is not our nature. But once we think we know how things go, we relinquish a lot of that because somewhere along the line, we've learned being right is better than being curious. Well, good morning to you all. Bless you. Thank you for keeping me this long. It's been 5 years now that we've been together. And it's been a wonderful time for me. Not without its challenges, but I'm okay with that. This will be my last. No, it won't. I'm taking the time off in the summers I do because I think that's kind of a healthy thing to do. But I will be, nonetheless, delivering a service in July and in August, just because. And we're doing this like this now, so I can do it from anywhere, and that will allow me to be with you. And I would rather do that than to totally go away. So I will sort of be around. Thank you.